Let's pray. God, you are forever faithful. You have bound yourself to your people, and you love them. You want what's best for them. But God, so often we are unfaithful. We sin again and again. And we sin against you, the God of heaven, the God of earth. Father, we pray today that as we hear your word, that you would open our eyes, that you would open our ears so that we might see and that we might hear. And we pray that as we hear your word, you would impress your word onto our hearts, that we would turn away from sin. Convict us of our sin, O God. And may we find forgiveness of these sins in your Son, Jesus Christ. And please be with us today. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've ever been in a car accident, you know how frustrating it can be afterwards to deal with the other driver's insurance company. It starts with a friendly call to get your side of the story. But really, it's about seeing if you'll admit that it was your fault. Then comes the second and the third call, slightly more aggressive now, and we're at the point where it's he said or she said. Then it's the call every couple of days because the accident assessors have determined that you're at fault. This goes on for a while until one day you get a letter in the mail threatening to take you to court if you don't pay for damages to the other driver's vehicle. At this point, you wish the accident never happened and the insurance company would get out of your life. I'm not sure how you feel about insurance companies. Maybe you've had a different experience, but have you ever wanted to get someone or something out of your life? Maybe it's the unwelcome guest at your house who comes over uninvited. Maybe it's an old habit that comes and goes and comes and goes. Maybe it's that shirt, the one he always wears. Maybe it's the person on your team at work who clashes with you on everything. Maybe it's stress. Maybe it's not knowing what's going to happen next. But what about sin? Have you ever wanted to get sin out of your life? And did you manage to do it? If you remember from last week, Israel have had a great victory. As 7 days they circled the city of Jericho, and on the seventh day the Lord gave the city into the hands of his people. They completely destroyed the city. In Joshua 6 verse 27, so the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout the land. And if Israel were careful to obey all that God had commanded them, then Israel could expect that a victory was how it would be from now on. But today in Joshua 7, things have changed. The Lord's anger burns against Israel because they had acted unfaithfully and taken for themselves what belonged to God. And so in Joshua 7 and 8, God is going to show his people that he takes sin seriously and that there is no room for sin in the lives of his people. It begins with a humiliating defeat. Instead of waiting on the Lord to give the city of Ai over to them, Joshua, on the advice of some spies, sent 3,000 men who were easily defeated and were chased from the city gate. So what's gone wrong? If you remember in Joshua 5, it was the Amorite and the Canaanite kings who melted in fear when they heard how the Lord had dried up the Jordan so that the Israelites could cross over. But now it was the hearts of the Israelites who were melting in fear and had become like water. And so verse 6, Joshua, tearing his clothes, falls face down to the ground. Distraught before the ark of the Lord, he calls on God. God, why did you bring us here? Was it to destroy us? Isn't this the land you promised to give us? Why is this happening to us? What did we do wrong? We would have been better off if we stayed on the other side of the Jordan instead of coming here to be killed and destroyed by the king of Ai and his people. Because hadn't Israel done everything the Lord commanded? In Joshua 6 verse 21, Israel devoted the whole city of Jericho to the Lord. And even more than this, remember God's promises in Joshua 1. The Lord had told Joshua, I will give you every place where you set your foot. Verse 5, no one will be able to stand up against you. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And verse 9 of chapter 1, the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Here is promise after promise after promise that God will be faithful to Israel. And so has God been unfaithful? No. God rebukes Joshua. And we find out that it's not that God has forsaken his people, but it's Israel who have been unfaithful and brought destruction on themselves. And in Joshua 7 verse 11, God explains to Joshua, Israel had been defeated because Israel had sinned and violated God's covenant. They had taken some of the devoted things. They had stolen and lied and put what belonged to God with their own possessions. God's reply is, things are the way they are now because you have sinned against me. And it's only later in the story that we find out that Achan, son of Carmi, in verse 21, had taken a beautiful robe from Babylonia, some silver and gold, and hidden them in the ground under his tent. And because he had done this, the Lord's anger burns against Israel. You see, God takes sin seriously, and he won't stop until sin is cleaned out and completely removed from his people. And let's stop here for a minute and ask, is Israel's sin our sin? Are we, like Israel, guilty of taking for ourselves what belongs to God? Because we do this sometimes, don't we? We take what God has generously given to us and we say, that's mine. It belongs to me. I can use it however I want. And like the child in primary school, we write on our lives and on our things, this belongs to Jeremy. Jeremy's lunchbox. And so often we think that what we have belongs to us, when in fact it's God's. And what's interesting is we seem to have categories for what does and doesn't belong to God. For example, if before when the collection bags were coming around, I put my hand in and I took some money for Kezia and I to have some dumplings later on for lunch. I'm sure someone would say, hey, you can't do that. You're stealing. That belongs to God. That's God's money. Then why is it that this is not how we think about the money we don't put in the bag? And other things like our time, our careers, our children, our holidays, our homes, our desires, our dreams, our ambitions. We live as if all these things belong to us and not to God. But just because you don't put it in a bag doesn't mean it's not God's. I have a friend who, when we go for coffee, he will always pay. And when I thank him, he'll say to me, no, it's God's money. It's a great encouragement, but it's challenged me to think, what am I keeping for myself, even though it belongs to God? And how about you? What of God's are you keeping for yourself? But coming back to the story, what's the big deal? What's in a devoted thing? What's so terrible about Achan's sin? If you ask me, this all seems a little bit of an overreaction on God's part, doesn't it? Because surely what Achan had done was not that big of a deal. He'd only taken a few things. Yes, he'd done wrong and he knew it. That's why he'd hid it under his tent. But maybe he thought God wouldn't think much of it. I'll just keep it to myself. Nobody will notice. I'm not hurting anyone. But he is. Because sin is done against God. Look at how God describes what Israel had done at the start in verse 1. It doesn't just say Israel had taken the devoted things, but because they had taken the devoted things, Israel had acted unfaithfully. And not only this, but in taking the devoted things, Israel had violated God's covenant and failed to keep the promise they'd made to obey everything in the law. And God speaks to us in these terms to show us that sin is unfaithfulness to God, because sin is done against God. And Achan knew this when he admitted to taking the devoted things. He says in verse 20, "It is true, I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel. This is what I have done." Sin is done against God. At the heart of sin is unfaithfulness to God and a rejection of Him. It's deliberate and willful disobedience against God. It's a grievous breach of the relationship we have with God. When we sin, we are like a wayward husband or wife who runs away from God and into the arms of other lovers. And as God pursues us, we say to God, "Let go of me. Leave me alone. And let me live life how I want to live it." And not only this, but our sin affects others. Just like in school when the whole class is punished because a few have been disruptive. All of Israel faces God's judgment because of one man's sin. And in verse 24 and 25, Achan, his sons and daughters, his cattle, donkeys and sheep, his tent, the devoted things and all that he had were stoned and then burned. Because God's covenant is not just with Achan, but it is with all of Israel. And this is important for us because we forget this, don't we? We are so individual and we think my sin and what I do only affects me. But as God's people, we're bound to one another, counted and treated as one. And your sin has consequences not only for you, but for others too. Do you know your sin is done against God and it affects others? Ashfield Presbyterian Church, is there sin among us? Ongoing, unrepented of, hidden, unchallenged. Sin for which somehow God in some way is bringing judgment on all of us and is withholding his blessing from us. Is this you? Turn away from your sin today. Repent and come back to God and into the light. No longer live in darkness, for there is forgiveness of sins in Jesus. Amen. And may love compel us to point out sin in each other's lives. Let's challenge sin. And do this not just for your own sake, but for each other's sake. And we can do this because God won't reject his people forever. No, God brings sinners back into the fold. When God had cleaned Israel of her sin, and Israel had destroyed the devoted things, the Lord turns from his fierce anger. He restored his people. God's heart is for people to come back to him. And he doesn't want people to languish in their sin, cast off from him forever. And as we turn now to Joshua 8, things are back to the way they were. God delivers Ai into the hands of Israel. Israel is careful to obey God and wait for the Lord's instruction. In verse 9 of chapter 8, Israel set an ambush just as the Lord had commanded, luring all the men of Ai away from the city, leaving it open to be burned so that Israel might take it. And God gave Israel victory. In verse 25, 12,000 men and women fell that day, all the people of Ai. And in verse 28, so Joshua burned Ai, and made it a permanent heap of ruins, a desolate place to this day. And as we come to the end of Joshua 8, there is a beautiful picture of the whole assembly of Israel gathered, including the aliens, the women, and the children, remaking promises to God and binding themselves against God, saying, "We will be faithful to the one who is always faithful to us." And it seems that Israel has learned a lesson. Israel is to have nothing to do with sin, for God will not stop until sin is cleaned out of the lives of his people. It's a happy ending. The sin of God's people has been removed. Israel has been restored. A great victory has been won. But you only have to turn the page to chapter 9. And Israel has gone back to old habits. And if you know the story of Israel in the Old Testament, this will happen again and again and again. And it's because on our own, we can't clean the sin out of our lives. Just like Israel couldn't do it, we can't either. Because Israel's story is our story. We, like Israel, sin again and again. We are unfaithful to God, and we need God to clean the sin out of our lives. One of the things that I love to do is to wash my car. It relaxes me. No, I won't wash your car. It's only relaxing when it's my own car. And I tell people, the reason why I love to wash my car is because a dirty car is the one thing I can actually clean, the one problem I can actually fix. But you know what God always does the day after I wash my car, even that afternoon? He makes it rain. And I think it's to teach me, even this you can't clean. On your own, you can't clean the sin out of your life. Only God can. And God is still serious about sin. He is serious about cleaning sin out of the lives of his people. He wants us to have nothing to do with sin, and yet we still sin so often. Again and again, we are unfaithful to God. Some days the fight against sin is a losing battle. We feel defeated, hopeless, ashamed, unclean, disappointed in ourselves, that we are prone to wonder and how we feel it. And in this way, we are in the same boat as Israel. But where we're different, and it's a big difference. Unlike Achan or Israel, Jesus was faithful to God. Jesus was completely obedient to God. And so while Achan brought death and God's anger on Israel because of his sin, Jesus brings life and forgiveness to all those who are bound to him and belong to him. Jesus is the one who was crucified and treated as one who had been unfaithful. God poured out all his anger on him for our sin, so that when those who refuge in Jesus sin again and again and again, God's anger won't burn against them, because Jesus has died for their sins once and for all. The one sacrifice of himself to take away our sins and bring us to God. And this is great news, because in our struggle with sin, God will not hold our sin against us. Because of Jesus, Psalm 103 is true for us, that as far as east is from the west, so far has God removed our transgressions from us. God is serious about cleaning sin out of the lives of his people. But when we do sin, God's sure promise is that he will remember our sins no more. And not only this, but when Jesus died, he didn't just die for our sins, face God's anger for us, and leave us in our sin to continue in unfaithfulness to God. No, Jesus brings in a new covenant, a new reality for God's people, which is like the old. We see at the end of Joshua 8, but even better. You see, in our struggle against sin, you are not without hope.
Amen.
God is not finished. He hasn't left you on your own. In Romans 8, we find out that God has given his people his spirit, to help them. In Hebrews 10, by His Spirit, God will put His laws in the hearts of His people and He will write them on their minds so that they might actually obey God. And by His Spirit, just like God, brought Israel back into the fold when they turned back to Him. In Jesus, God will restore sinners like you and me when we repent and come back to Him. Friends, God is relentlessly pursuing you because He wants you to love and worship Him. He wants all your affection. He loves you so much, He is cleaning sin out of your life and He won't stop until it's gone. He wants your faithfulness. Just like a good father disciplines his son, God disciplines us who He loves. Hebrews 12 verse 10 to 11 says, "Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best. But God disciplines us for our good, that we might share in His holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it." God wants more for you than to leave you in your sin. He is pleading with you today. Why do you keep running and giving yourself away, going from one lover to another, disappointed and dissatisfied? Come to me, the one who will always be faithful to you. God wants it all. There is no part of your life God is not going to move into. On your own, you cannot clean sin out of your life. But God won't stop until sin is cleaned out of your life and Christ is formed in you. Until the ongoing sin which no one knows about is beaten out of you. Until instead of the anger you have when your kids act out, there is only love, grace and patience. Until your jealousy of what God has done for others, which leads you to complain and grumble and gossip, is replaced by a deep contentment in Him. Until you stop finding comfort or value in lesser things and lovers, which will always disappoint. God won't stop until the sin is cleaned out of your life. So repent often, because you have hope and you do not have to fear. Come back to Jesus, on whom God has poured out His anger, so that we don't have to face God's anger. Refuge in Him and hide in Him. Don't wait until you're good enough. Don't wait until you've had a few good weeks. Know in Him your sins are forgiven. And one day soon your sin will be completely cleaned out of your life. But until then, don't leave sin unchecked. Don't leave sin dormant and hidden. Sin is like the rubbish a hoarder keeps and won't let go of. It starts with little things here and there, but slowly the pile builds. And over the years, more and more things are kept, until before long the whole house is full of useless things which are no good for you. And you are trapped. This is what sin will do in your life if you don't deal with sin. And if you let it, it will get into everything and destroy you. So deal with sin and do it in the Spirit's power. I started today by asking, have you ever wanted to get sin out of your life? And did you manage to do it? Well, on our own, we can't clean sin out of our lives. But be encouraged. God has not given up on you. God is cleaning the sin out of your life, and He won't stop until He finishes His work in you. Let's pray. Father God, in so many ways we are like Israel. We are unfaithful to You. And we sin against You again and again. But God, we know that things have changed and they are different too. That Jesus Christ, who was faithful to You and obedient to You, He died on a cross all your anger poured out on him, so that those who trust in him and believe in him do not have to face your anger. Father, we thank you that in him our sins are forgiven. But God, we pray for the sin in our lives that remains. We pray for the sin in our lives that is often hidden, unchecked, not challenged by others, and sometimes not addressed. We pray that you would convict us today. And by your Spirit, God, because of what Jesus has done, clean the sin out of our lives. Discipline us like a father disciplines his son whom he loves, until Christ is formed in us. Until we love you with everything we have, and we love others too. And we pray that for those of us who feel too sinful for you, that we would come to you, that we would not wait until we feel good enough, but that we would throw ourselves at the feet of the cross, where justice and mercy meet, and there find that our sins are forgiven because of what Christ has done. So God, please continue your work in our lives. Clean out the sin until it's gone. And help us to keep looking to you always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.